Hi, guys, and welcome to the Geek Actually After Show Supernova Special, episode 90 for the 26th of June 2010. I'm David McVeigh.
I'm Josh Philpott.
I'm Shane Gregory.
And this is going to be a slightly different after show. Normally, our after shows are completely unstructured, and normally we basically say there's no rules, talk about whatever you want. But this week, we actually went to the Supernova Pop Culture Expo as media, and we had a great time, and we took a lot of footage, and so we wanted to share that with you guys and talk about our experiences and so forth. So we're going to kick this off with a video, and we'll come back and talk about this in just a minute. So stick with us for the next hour or so, because it should be a little bit of fun. And here we go. Hey guys, this is David from Geek Actually and
Josh at Geek Actually.
And we are at Supernova Sydney 2010, and as you can see from behind us, it is a madhouse here. So over this special, hopefully we're going to bring you a whole bunch of clips of interviews with the people down there.
And in the events, at the booths, everything. We're just going to be all over this.
And we have a special interview with the producers of Iron Sky, the film that's coming out that we put a trailer up for before. So we're very excited about meeting them and getting them on camera. So stick with us for this special. It should be a lot of fun. Hey guys, okay, so we went to Supernova, and we have to say the first thing that really stuck with us was how many goddamn people were there.
When we were standing outside that building and we were in absolute shock of the possibility of having to wait for Shane to get through the lines, I was incredibly scared.
Yeah, okay, we should explain this. So first of all, we could only pick up two media passes. Josh and I got branded with the little wristbands. You'll see in the videos, you'll see we're wearing these little yellow wristbands. We couldn't get a media pass for Shane, so Shane bought a ticket, but we weren't about to leave Shane behind.
Hell no. No man behind.
So we were wandering this line, which we're going to, over this next couple of days, we'll be putting up photos, and I've got photos of these lines. We'll be putting photos up on geekactually.com, and all of the videos you're going to see here, if you're an audio listener, will be on YouTube. And they'll be linked onto geekactually.com, so you won't miss out. All right, we were wandering these lines trying to figure out where the hell Shane was supposed to pick up his prepaid ticket, and of course, the line to pick up the prepaid ticket was miles long.
And I think it went around like two city blocks.
Yeah,
like it actually had to cross a road, which I thought was incredible.
It was incredible and ridiculous. So. We thought, well, we went to the door and we said, "We're with media. What are we supposed to do?" And they said, "Oh, you just go to that table over there." And we thought, okay, so Shane, come with us. And we just walked through the door saying, "We're media, we're media, we're media." And we went to the table, and just as we walked in the door, some woman said, "Anybody with prepaid tickets, line up here." And so we just kind of pushed Shane at the table.
Stand over there.
And so he just completely queue-jumped into that line, and we all got through at exactly the same time. And as you'll hear by some of the people that we interview, there's an Iron Man interview coming up where they said they had to wait 2 hours to get in, and they were there from first thing in the morning. So it really is quite staggering. Now, I have to say, first thing that we did when we got there was I needed a bacon and egg roll and coffee because I was exhausted. And Josh went off on his own and did this little introduction, and I thought, I'm keeping this introduction, because what you actually do talk about is how many people were actually there. So I thought we'd keep this
Just watch people starting to trickle through behind me, and this was at the start, and they were not letting people through in huge lets.
So while I'm eating a bacon and egg roll, this was Josh at Supernova.
Hi, everybody. This is Josh from Geek Actually, and we are here live at Supernova. The crowd is amazing, and it is only about 11 o'clock. It is an amazing turnout so far, considering the fact that all of these people are nerds, and nerds do not generally like to get up very early in the morning. Behind me over here is the signing booths, which is where people are going to come to get their signatures. Some of these people have literally ran straight from the outside of the show, running inside and lined up. These people are going to wait ridiculous amounts of times just to get a signature of their stars that they want to see. I've heard that Summer Glau has apparently just arrived, which is fantastic. But what we're going to do now is we're going to run around and interview a few people and see whether or not we can get some fan input on why people do this and why people come here.
And that's exactly what we did do. So we ran around and we decided early on in the piece, because we looked at those lines to those celebrities, and we kind of went, do you know what? The celebrities really aren't what we're all about.
Dude, and the truth is that when they're at an event like that, they are a particular type of personality. Mm. You can see it when you watch some of the other interviews while we were waiting for the trickle feed lines that they were giving media people, like once every 5 minutes they'd let somebody go up.
Yeah.
And it was just taking hours to get anywhere close to these people. And it was just the same regurgitated lines. And it was just like we were going, look, these people are here and they're a part of Supernova, but that isn't what Supernova is about. Supernova is about going there, seeing all this stuff, and enjoying yourself wandering around the floor. It's not waiting in lines for 30 minutes to get a five-second scroll on
Absolutely.
A piece of paper.
Absolutely, and Supernova is about the fans. Mm. And that's what it really comes down to. Now, we did actually wait at the booths for about 45 minutes.
Mm.
We talked to, now I'm going to give a shout-out really quickly to Lionel Midford, who actually is the organizer
of
Supernova.
Yeah, thank you so much. And you know what? He was so gracious the entire time
he
we
was,
were there
and you could
well.
See that he had a lot on his plate. And when we went up there, I said, we were wondering if we could get some footage and some words from some of these celebrities. And I think his reaction, his reaction when I said, he said, who do you want? And I said, Charisma Carpenter, Summer Glau, or Lou Ferrigno. And he said, Charisma Carpenter, Summer Glau, no chance.
Mm.
And he said, I'll talk to Lou. Yeah. And we thought, that's great. If we can get Lou Ferrigno, that would be fantastic. We waited for about 45 minutes, and it wasn't going to happen.
No.
I mean, it really wasn't going to happen. And it was kind of at that point where we said, really, the most important thing we need to be getting right now is the people. The people behind the counters, the people who are in costume, all those people who are showing up to this event. And so that's what we concentrated on. We actually went out and started to talk to the fans. And here's one of the fans that we went out and talked to. Now, I got to say, first thing I got to say about this clip is I have no idea why these two guys insisted on putting really bad American accents on. For some reason, they must have heard my accent and thought, we got to be American. But they don't understand that their accents are terrible. But anyway, they're fans, and fans do what fans do. So here's one of the freaks and geeks who were at Supernova. I'm here with Spider-Man and Iron Man. How are you guys?
Very good, sir. Very good.
You've got to tell me, how long did it take to make this costume?
It took me close to around a month to make this costume here, out of molds and everything like that, painting, a lot of mishaps as well, too, and a lot of breakages. So I had to redo it again and again. So around a month, 2 months max.
Fantastic. And yourself?
Well, I'm very good, thank you. Just been spinning some webs here and there, catching some flies. But I'm pretty good. Yeah, feeling great today.
That's great. Do you guys go to all the conventions, or is this just, this is the time of
first
year?
Our first one, yeah.
That shows dedication to your first convention there.
it took us around 2 hours before we got in as well, too.
Yeah.
It was a long wait.
I was just outside. The lines are actually longer now than when we first got here, so it's just massive. So is it comfortable?
It is. I'll tell you something. It is comfortable, but the only thing, it takes around 2 hours to get in the costume.
Get it. So you just hope you don't have to pee, right?
Exactly. No drinking water.
And yourself?
I think the next Spider-Man suit is going to have a zipper on it, but nobody. It's like putting a stocking over your head and just looking through a screen door.
Now, I had to actually abridge them a little bit because they went on to talk about all sorts of other things. But they were a lot of fun. They were very gracious. And I can't believe that he went through all that effort for his first convention. Usually you go to a convention, see what it's like, and then on your second one you would go all out like that. But these guys went all out.
Hey, man.
First shot up.
Look, good on them.
Yeah,
good
absolutely.
On them. Someone's got to do it, right?
Dedicated fans. And that's what Supernova is all about. It's about these dedicated fans. And I mean, we have interviewed a few of them, but realistically there were hundreds of people in costume, and we're talking about every different kind of costume in existence. We're talking about everything from video games to movie characters to
anime and video games are the huge portion of the show, really, for people.
Yeah, and that's what the first thing you need to know about Supernova is, it's not about movies. It's about pop culture.
Yeah.
And it's about everything. They had Dungeons & Dragons tables set up where people were learning
magic
to play Dungeons & Dragons. Magic tables. And in our next one, this is actually a little bit of a longer one. Josh, I give you credit for it. Josh got talking to the Samsung booth.
Oh, yeah.
And found out that they were actually having the FIFA Now, what's the game? FIFA?
FIFA, well, I'm not sure which one it was. They wouldn't explain it. I would imagine it's the latest game out of the ones that are there. But, they were hosting part of what seems to be like the world...
It was the national championships to decide on who was going into the international. And they were doing it right there at Supernova.
Exactly. And we showed up literally just as they were starting out.
Yeah, which was good because, I mean, we also got to talk to... the reigning national champion. Yeah. And he got to talk...
And here's an exact example of kind of like what geekdom and nerddom is really when you actually think about it, because you just listen to this guy talk and his life is about this game. And it's good to at least see him for that reason.
So what we've got here is, first of all, we talk to the Samsung people themselves or the company that is actually running the event. Mm. And then she got us the world champion, or the national champion. And he came and had a talk with us. So have a look at this.
Hi, guys. I'm here with Geek Actually with Sarah. And Sarah, why don't you tell us what it is that you're doing here for the Samsung booth?
Fine. So we're actually here in conjunction with Samsung on the World Cyber Games. And we're the event organizers for that, 2010.
Wow, wonderful. So what's going on here? Give us a rundown of the basic sort of things that we're seeing here and what this giant TV is showing us, and just a basic rundown.
Fine. So we've got quite a few things going on here. We've got, first of all, the Samsung 3D tents. So they're there and there. We've got vision of 3D games, and we've also got vision of 3D television as well. So.
Okay, wonderful. What games have you got running here so that people can know? I'm not sure. Let's see.
We've got soccer over here.
We got soccer?
That's something different. That's okay. Part of the World Cyber Games. One of the most exciting bits here today is we've got FIFA 2010 qualifiers. Mm-hmm. Now, that's all battling out today over the course of today and tomorrow.
Okay.
And finals tomorrow afternoon. The winners for that array of various prizes, but the winners are going to... Asia, they're going to Singapore and also Los Angeles.
Oh, wow, wonderful. So you were saying something before we started about the fact that somebody's defending a title today?
Yes,
is that right?
We have Dmitry Beskos, who is here with his brother-in-law, in fact, who came second. Hmm. They are battling it out for the prize of...
Wow, wonderful. So these guys, is this the local, like national, or is this the international winners?
Fine. So this is national, so this is Australia qualifiers, but they then, if they win this, they'll then go on to represent Australia overseas.
This is it.
Yeah. Oh, wow. This is a big one.
So
this is a big one.
Here.
We have, yes.
Oh, that's fantastic. And so tell us a little bit about 3D TV, because we've kind of talked a little bit about 3D TV on our show. What is the availability of a content?
Yes.
And I mean, at this point in time, 3D TVs are very expensive still.
Yes. Yeah.
What do you see as the drop in price for these? How fast do you see this coming down?
I think it'll take a while. I think that, you know, it's only recently in the last month basically being available wide stream and your Harvey Norman, your Dick Smith, etc. So I think it's going to take, you know, as all these things do, maybe a year, a couple of years before the prices start to come down.
That's
so
fantastic. Well, and availability of titles at the moment?
Availability of ATVs is very large. That's fine. There's not particularly a waiting list. But for titles, then... there's more and more movies and also games actually being made in 3D. So
interestingly enough, E3 has covered a lot of that with the fact that we have seen a lot of these games will be kind of expanding out. Sony's major push this year is basically most of their games.
There will be an update later this year to the PlayStation 3, which will actually make it 3D compatible.
Yes.
And there's even been rumors kicking around about Xbox. So it'll be very interesting to see what's going to come out of that as well.
Exciting times.
It is exciting times.
All right, wonderful. Well, we might try and track down the current reigning champion and see if we can actually get a small interview out of him at some stage.
Yes,
I'm here with Dmitry at the Samsung booth, and we hear that you're currently defending your title. Tell us a bit about what the title is and what exactly got you to this position.
Okay. Well, first of all, getting to this position was a lot of hours into it. Playing from about 5 years old, that's probably why. And just commitment, just playing every few weeks. And yeah.
So this is the title for the FIFA World Championship. So your reign is local to Australia, or is that worldwide?
At the moment, it's Australia.
But you plan to take that to the world?
To the world, which I did last year. I didn't go too good, but this year would be different.
All right. Yeah. That's awesome, dude. So what sort of training do you put yourself through for this?
pretty much playing a lot of hours and different people. You got to, you know, vary it up and, yeah.
Do you find that a lot with sort of playing people online, or do you play people you know that are really good?
I play people that I know because it's a different style of gameplay, and just don't play the computer because that's, yeah.
Wow. Fair enough. So when you get this good at a game like this, you would notice better than anyone the differences between each year's game. Is there anything in this year's game that really has made it such a step forward from the last one?
I know they're going to hate me for this, but no, I really think because they're pretty much a monopoly in the game, it's not really moving that forward at all.
Oh, okay. So you would like to see a bit more change in it?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, there you go. All right, guys. Well, so you kick off very soon to defend your championship. Have you seen the other guy play yet that you'll be taking on?
Yeah, I took him on. He was number two in the in Australia last year, so I'm taking him on now.
Oh, so this is your brother?
Brother-in-law.
Brother-in-law. So there you go. We've got a family feud going on. And look, I will probably swing past to check it out later on. No, thank you so much for your time, dude.
All right, so as a gamer, Josh, how were his answers for you?
He was actually a lot more grounded than I had actually expected. Like, and I mean no insult to him when I asked the question, so if he's listening, don't take this to heart. But you kind of expect someone that puts that much time in, someone that professionally plays a game, to have like some bizarre ritual. And I was kind of hoping that he was going to tell me that like he trains by like swinging from the roof, or like, you know, doing thumb exercises or something ridiculous. He was actually a really grounded guy that just really liked FIFA as a thing. So, you know, good on him for that, and good on him for pushing forward on it.
My question is, did he actually end up going on to win? Because we didn't find that out in the end, because we left before the finale. So we got to look that up and find out whether or not he actually did succeed, or did his brother-in-law kick his ass.
does he actually play anything else as well?
He didn't say. By the sounds of it, it sounds like he's a FIFA player, and that's what he plays. We were talking before, Shane, about how certain people like certain genres of games, and you know, people who play first-person shooters, that's all they play. This takes it to a whole new level. This is not only just playing one genre, this is playing one game. But I had a friend like that. He was a Street Fighter champion. He actually won a proper Street Fighter cabinet, you know, one of the actual proper Street Fighter games. He was in Melbourne. He was like the national champion of Street Fighter. These people get really obsessed by one particular title. Look, I thought we have to clarify here that she didn't actually work for Samsung. She was a promotion company.
She did so well.
And she did so well holding up, because I wasn't briefed before I went in, so I immediately started asking all sorts of questions that she wasn't really there to answer. And she held up. She did very well on it. Yeah. So their booth was really, really professional, very, very slick, and it really stood out. In some of the shots, you might see wide shots of the actual center, and you can always see the Samsung flag. Yeah. So it was like a very, very clear...
And the booths themselves were really well designed. They had those kind of rooms in the background
little
where you
tents,
could sit in and play 3D TV games. And then they also had a whole extra section off to the side playing some racing games as well. So that was a really well-made booth.
And she was really sweet. Actually, they were all very sweet, because a few of them were talking to us beforehand. Yeah. And they were all very, very accommodating, very, very sweet. So we wandered the floor. And now we've already seen one of them, of course, which was Iron Man and Spider-Man. But one of the things that I was doing probably more than anybody else was just talking to fans, because they fascinated me. The amount of effort they would go into costumes and so forth. And you just want to kind of get into their heads and see what they are. But then we looked out across the sea of fans, and we saw one particular person. It was actually a girl dressed like Harley Quinn. And Josh, I looked at Josh and I said, "We know her."
Oh, yes. Yes,
and
we did.
And I said, "Is that the same girl who was at the preview to Zombieland?" Because Zombieland was done on a Halloween night when we saw Zombieland. And this Harley Quinn was there. And we actually said, "Wow, that's the most fantastic Harley Quinn costume." And sure enough, I went up and said, "Are you the same girl who was at Zombieland?" She said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, we need to interview you guys right now." And she was with two friends, one dressed as Poison Ivy and one dressed as Silk Spectre from Watchmen. And this is how it went down.
Hi, guys. I'm here with a bevy of beauties. How are you, my ladies?
Good.
Fabulous. Thank you.
Now, we've actually seen you. We've actually seen you before. We were wondering, and I went, is that the same Harley Quinn? And sure enough.
I get around. Yeah.
So it's kind of like professional Harley Quinn.
Pretty much, yeah. I might just be the real Harley Quinn in disguise, but I probably shouldn't say anything more about it.
I really hope so, because then I've brushed with fame. So. So how long did it take you to get your costumes ready?
Well, about what was it, two hours.
Two hours.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yesterday was about three.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to get into the costume?
At least an hour. Yeah, at least an hour.
And yourself?
Actually, I can sort of wiggle in and out of it pretty quickly at this stage. It's more of a sort of 45-minute job for me these days.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm about the same. I've done a couple of times now.
We're old hands.
All the expos do?
Yeah. My first did Nova. I'm from Brisbane.
Right. Okay.
So she.
Yeah, they're having a Supernova in Brisbane, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah. We've already done it.
Oh, I see. I see. Well, thank you very much for your time. You guys look fantastic.
Thank you.
Are you here for both days?
We are, yes.
Fantastic. All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
They were so cheerful.
They've obviously not been there for very long.
Well, by the sounds of it, they do all of the circuits and they do all of the convention. They were there for both days as well. It's just exhausting. And let me tell you, the one thing, my first observation about Supernova is it is exhausting. Okay, you're there for a few hours, and as the crowd starts to build, and I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but as the crowd starts to build, there's that constant wall of noise and that constant surrounding of people. It's like this constant input, much input, that you just find it wearing you down after a while. And it's like
it's not only that. For me, it's the energy of just kind of going around and doing all these interviews with people and sort of trying to stay on par and trying to be sort of like, you know, sort of friendly and civil when you start getting some very weird characters kind of coming up and talking to you along the way. So.
Well, we had that one guy who we were interviewing. You'll see the interview with a girl who's dressed like Emma Frost later on. Mm. And as I was interviewing her, he was watching. Yeah. And then he wanders up to me afterwards and says, "Are you interviewing everybody?"
Yeah, he was a nice guy. Yeah, no, he was very polite.
And then, look, I'll put his interview on YouTube. We don't have it for today, but we will put it on YouTube with the rest of them because we've got it, so we might as well use it. We have to put an apology out to the V boys. We actually did do an interview with these guys dressed in V, just in case they're listening. We did an interview with the guys dressed in original 80s V. We had a mic problem. Unfortunately, there's no audio on the interview. So that was a real shame. There's a little bit of them in the opening credits that you saw, which showed the costumes were just fantastic. Shane, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say about the exhaustion, what happened when I went, actually, for a little wonder. Around the arena, I noticed that all of the very heavy costume-orientated people were just sitting down. And there was one which was in an alien suit, and I saw him take off his head.
Well, it's not so. We'll do an interview in a few minutes with the Novos Ordo people, which are they're Star Wars cosplayers and so forth. It's a fan club. We talked to them. And she was saying that their Darth Vader is currently done up as Terminator. So he obviously is rotating costumes because the Darth Vader suit would just kill you after a while. So it makes sense. So these guys are obviously bringing multiple costumes and stuff too.
I found the first time we sat down as well was a big thing. Like, when you sat down for the first time and actually stopped, and the adrenaline
when we stopped for that
out
coffee,
of you,
and you
kind of
go, "Do I need to get up again?" I think the ultimate time for that, Josh, was when we, after we had left, when we drove halfway home, we stopped at a KFC to get something to eat, and we almost didn't leave KFC. We almost decided to stay there for the night.
We almost thought about just kind of sitting there and just kind of being like, "Yeah, you know what? I'm just gonna." Just sit here for a while.
Yeah, it was pretty hard going. All right, so if we move on a little bit, this was we started to talk to some of the people at the booths because once again, and we didn't want to go to the major booths. We didn't want to go to things like King's Comics and stuff because they're just shops that are basically putting their shops over. We really wanted to talk to some of the fan clubs. And the first one that caught our attention was the Novos Ordo people, which are basically they're cosplayers in the Star Wars universe. Mm-hmm. And there was a lovely girl working behind the counter who Josh was smitten with her cookies. So
her cookies were amazingly good.
Let's have a listen to what she has to say about Star Wars cosplaying.
Why don't you tell everybody who you are and what you're doing here?
Today we're at Novus Auto. It's a Star Wars costume table. We do charity events. It's a free-based group, and we just come together and we play with costumes and we make kids happy and adults.
And also bake amazing cookies in the shape of the best Star Wars characters there are. Really, really awesome cookies.
So I have to ask at this point, how many members are there to your group?
Active members? Ooh, I couldn't tell you because I'm a new member myself. I've only been with the club for about 6 months. How many members do you reckon we have? 20 to 30 plus. We get a
awesome.
Yeah, we get a select group that usually come together. We have people from out of state. We've got people in Brisbane. So,
how often do you meet?
Once a month, maybe more. It depends. We do charity events like kids' hospitals. We did the Blacktown show, sort of like the Easter show, but for Blacktown. Just really depends what people want. So.
That's fantastic. And so, look, judging by this, you're Star Wars only. You're not generalized cause, or is it?
Yeah, we're generally Star Wars, but a lot of people have different costumes that they bring. Our Vader's in the Terminator at the moment, you know.
Oh, wow, that is a very nice Terminator outfit.
Yeah, so. We've got a bloke who does Wolverine, you know, who's also another Vader. So it's just a mishmash. Generally, we're Star Wars, but
so how much preparation do you guys really put in for this? Like, how early before the show do you actually start organizing the?
The table, we come in on Friday, and a few people come in and set up, put all the posters. But we get numbers months beforehand. We have to book the table. We have to get payments. We have to get our costumes ready, which is the biggest matter. It's a big process.
How long does it take to build an ensemble like this?
I bought this.
Okay. But, we won't hold that against you, though. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I don't have that skill yet. But something like, we don't really have it showing. Don't have a photo somewhere. Never mind. Some costumes, I have another costume, a Twi'lek, that took me 6 months. 6 months to put together, and that's latex and body paint. It's, you know, it depends on what you want to do. Something like this would take about a year to get ready if you don't know what you're doing. But you make it yourself, you can do it in a shorter amount of time.
And we have to ask the question now. This is the hard question. We have to ask, because I'm looking here, we got a mishmash of number two. Original trilogy or prequel trilogy?
I like the original for Boba Fett, but I also like the prequel because it has clones. I'm a clone girl at heart, always will be. So
that is completely fair.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, well, thank you very much for your time. And, enjoy the rest of the show. Thank you for the cookies.
A true fan who likes both trilogies. So you don't find often people who will admit to liking both trilogies. They're usually one or the other. No, she was really sweet. And she, there are other people at the table as well, but she actually spent the time to talk to us about it. And it's just this level of commitment to these fans, especially in a video we're coming up in a few minutes, which is the R2-D2 Makers Club. These guys spent years on some of their stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
And it's such a common misconception that that when these people kind of are outside these events, that they're like closet nerds and they just sit there. And what you find really interesting is the more in-depth you go with these people sitting at the booths and the people that are organizers, that these people are really normal people that are just really into what they
love. Well, yeah, because we cut it for time for the show, unfortunately. We'll probably put the entire thing in its entirety. That doesn't make sense. We'll put the entire interview of Iron Man, Spider-Man up on YouTube because they actually talk about what they do.
Yeah.
And outside of Supernova, outside of putting these costumes on and doing this, I think like they're most of these people are like accountants and builders, and they live normal lives. It's not comic book guy from The Simpsons, you know. It's like not all people are like that. It's a massive stereotype. There are geeks everywhere. You are surrounded by them. You just don't know it. So, all right. So, I think we should go on to another fan. Mm-hmm. Because the fan interviews were some of my favorite stuff. And this guy, I just happened to catch at the corner of my eye, and it just immediately stuck with me exactly what needed to be said at that point. And I think Josh kind of groaned at it, but I think it's relevant. So here we go.
Look, look, guys, I found Wally!
How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Only at Supernova could we actually finally find
Supernova. Yeah.
So what made you dress like Wally?
Her.
All right, what made you make him dress like
Well, me and the Yoshi run a costume design thing down in Tasmania called Dormouse. And we discovered that none of the big costumes were big enough to pack down into hand luggage. So I thought, what's basic? We did Wender, and then Isaac came as Wally. And
well, you know, there aren't very many of you guys around, which is very nice. It's unique, you know? So I think it's fantastic. So you guys having fun?
Oh, yeah.
Are you here for both days?
Yes.
Fantastic. So you say you run a costume design place, is that right? So costume for what? Is it play?
Mainly cosplay. We also do just decadence costumes, fruits, fashion type things.
Fantastic. Do you have a website or anything you want to plug?
Yes, we have an email if you're interested, not a website. It's squeakinateapot@gmail.com.
Fantastic.
Any cosplays you want, just email them through and we can give quotes and stuff.
Not a problem. Thank you very much for your time. You enjoy Supernova.
Thank you. You too.
It makes you really think about emailing that email address just to see exactly what they do make. What did she say? Decadence?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Cosplay and decadence. Interesting. I love the fact that he's looking very uncomfortable in that costume. What made you dress like that? She did. I think that's just great. And I just wonder how big were some of these costumes she wanted to bring, considering that she says the Yoshi came with us. That was a pretty big costume.
Yeah. Maybe somebody has like a big bird costume.
The heffalump.
Yeah, poor guy.
Look, they're all in pretty good spirits. I mean, I'm sure he enjoys part of it, but he does look a little bit like she's in charge.
I think we both know who wears the pants in that.
Or with the decadence aspect of it, it might just not be pants. But anyway,
yeah.
Moving right along from that one. Look, I love these guys, and I said to Josh at one point, I think it was Josh or was it Shane? No, it was Shane. I said to Shane at one point when I said, my people. Right? Yeah. I'm just surrounded by my people. You know, and I really love that. So what were your thoughts on Supernova, Shane?
I just liked it for the atmosphere, and I really appreciate how much detail these people went into with their costumes. I mean, one particular one stood out in my mind, and that was like it's like a demon elf that was standing there that had the
eyes.
He was about 7 foot tall.
Wow.
He stood out.
Yeah, he was on stilts and the whole bit. He was fantastic.
Yeah.
I did see him. So I agree with you. I think the level of commitment, we've used that word before, but I'm going to come back to it. The level of commitment these people throw into what they're doing. And some of the costumes are sensational. And you sit there and look at them and go, boy, that is good enough to go into a film.
Yeah. Yeah.
There were some that weren't so good, sure. But there were others where you sit there and go, boy, you put so much effort into that. Mm. That Darth Vader, because the guy who was Terminator ended up being the Darth Vader later, I got a photo of him. Mm. It was perfect. It was a perfect Darth Vader suit, you know, in every respect. And the other thing that was absolutely perfect were the robots.
Mm.
Now, the robots were amazing, and we'll play the video in just a second because they really need to be seen to be believed. Josh, what were your thoughts on these robots? Because at one point you actually turned to camera and just go, yes.
I just, like, when you start looking at the backs of the robots and you actually see that they go to the level of actually building the inside, not only the outside of these things, it's just incredible. Like, as a design feat alone, like, forget the fact that they move, make noises, have circuit board panels. You know, some of them... some of them were robot controlled. Some of them seem to have their own little inbuilt.
Well, because he actually said that in one point in this interview, when we get to the interview, he actually says at one point, this one, pointing to this really intricate one, he goes, this took so long to make, blah, blah, blah. He goes, some of the other ones, like the RC ones or the remote control ones. And then all I can think is, if that's not RC, what is it? You know, how computerized are these things getting? You know, because you're right. The RC ones are really detailed in their own right.
Yeah.
Amazing, amazing stuff. And just a level of craftsmanship that these guys put into it. And they're patient.
Yep.
And that's the other thing. They're really patient.
Yeah.
Because the droid that he was pointing to, the R2 unit that he's pointing to, what did he say? 6 years.
6 years. They've been building that. That's amazing.
That's an amazing piece of patience.
Wasn't one of them used for dishwashing or something?
Oh, he was making he was making a joke. He was, I think in the interview he said that it can do, you know, it's got a periscope, it's got the claws, it can go from 2 to 3 feet, and he goes, it can wash the dishes. It's like, and you know, the level of detail on this thing, I wouldn't be surprised, quite frankly. Let's have a look at the R2-D2 Makers Club and just sit in wonderment of what these guys achieve.
Hi, I'm now with Dave from the R2-D2 Builders Club. And I gotta say, I'm just looking at this R2 unit here. He is incredibly intricate.
Oh, very, very.
So, when did you get into building R2 units?
Probably about 11 years ago.
11 years?
Yeah, I was talking to Tony Dyson, who built the robots for Empire Strikes Back. We were talking about ways to make it possible for other people to build them. And he sent me some drawings, and then Don Bees from ILM contacted me, and we got some ideas together, and before you know it, everyone was building robots.
That's fantastic. And how long would it take to build something like this?
Something like that, probably about 5 years. But if it's just an RC version, probably 3 to 6 months.
So what makes this one, what sets this one apart from an RC one?
This can go from 2 legs to 3 legs, as the robot did in the movie. It's got a periscope, life form scanner, the head rotates 360 degrees, it's got claw arms that come out, and it does the washing up. It's got everything. This thing's fully loaded.
Are you going to be demonstrating him later on?
Yeah, the washing up function, yeah.
I see you have a Dalek sign here. Do you also make Daleks?
Yes. In fact, ours is roaming around exterminating people at the moment.
So how many members are in your group?
There's about 9,000 worldwide. And in Australia, there's probably about 400.
That's a lot more than I expected.
Yeah. No, I didn't. Definitely didn't say that. Apart from that, are there any other major things that you've built that you're really proud of?
Well, the canine's coming along. I mean, obviously, his head still needs some work, but he's almost there. The bender, I designed that up in about a week and a half. Probably the R5. I like the red one, if it's still there.
I like the best one right there.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it? I'm working on an AT-AT about this tall that walks at the moment.
Wow.
Yeah. And so we don't mind anything that people want to build. We're happy to see robots from any TV series. We have a workshop down at Silverwater, which is nearby to here, where we meet once a week. We have a barbecue. We build things. We talk about building things. We have a lot of fun.
It's called for a Geek Action special.
That is amazing. That is amazing. We'll have to be in touch, dude, because it's just, I have to say, the robots are incredibly well designed, and there's so much love, you can tell, in all the works that you guys do. So.
Love Arthur.
Great. So we'll get in touch with you. We're gonna come down to that workshop, I think.
How absolutely cool those robots! That Dalek is just brilliant. It was just the way it moved, the way it swiveled. It looked exactly
even the little things moved as well. The little front arm salt shaker.
And the one thing we didn't get to see, I really wanted to see that bender doing something, because I mean it's on two legs and stuff. Did it actually move? Could it turn? Because it wasn't actually active at the time we were there. But I'd love to have seen what that bender could do. You know, because it just makes you curious. So once you start seeing them, wondering, you go, what else have you guys been up to? And that R2 unit that he says took 5 years, sorry, not 6 years, that 5-year R2 unit sitting next to him, we didn't get a whole lot of footage, just a little bits and pieces of him. But in the background, you could actually see all of his arms and panels were open, his periscope was up, and he was actually active. His head was turning, and he was doing all sorts of things in the background.
You could see into the background when, like, the open doors where you could actually see, like, little fuse boxes and stuff like that, and they had built it all to spec.
They had the original specs from ILM, so, you know, really, really amazing. We are going to get in contact with Dave, and we're going to see if we can try and get our cameras down to their workshop and do a Geek Actually special just on the Makers, because they just blew me away. They fascinated me. And I just thought, wow, that's just staggering. I was so impressed with everything they had on show. And that little R5 unit that he talked about, the red one, it was roaming around, and I got a photograph of it. I don't know if we actually got footage of it.
No, because I never saw it.
Yeah, he was out in the main entry hall. Somebody was roaming around out there, and I took a photo of him. I'll put that photo up on Geek, actually, when we put up the photo gallery. So I'm still trying to sort out the photos to put up a photo gallery for it. All right, so we took a coffee break about this point and thought, wow, there's so much to see and so much to do. One of the things that we didn't really get a chance to do, because there were just so many people, was go to the seminars.
Yeah.
But I think it is fair. I've actually read something that kind of distressed me a little bit. Apparently the Spirig brothers, they are making the Dark Crystal sequel, right? And they got up and they spoke. And I didn't actually hear it firsthand, but I've read some excerpts from what they actually said. And it actually kind of disturbed me, the fact that they actually are talking about CG characters. So they're talking about puppets as well. So and it's supposed to be set like hundreds of years later, so it probably won't be the same characters. But the fact that they are considering putting CG characters in with the puppet characters kind of takes away from what the Dark Crystal was about.
Well, to be honest, man, I mean, you know that the Spirit Brothers and me do not sit on the same fence anyway. Daybreakers was a really average film.
I've actually got that on my iPad. Right? I rented it from iTunes. I got it on my iPad. I'm going to watch it. So
yeah, no, I was not a huge fan of the film. And I actually find when I did get a chance to speak to them, they're kind of, I don't know, as you said, maybe it was just tiredness or something like that, but yeah, they seem to be far too distant from what they were doing. I think they got a lucky break with Undead, and I haven't seen them actually, apart from that, do anything amazing. And the reason Undead works is because it's a community project with a whole bunch of people that were all really into what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
So they're yet to prove anything to me.
And as we see later on in this show, we have our interview with the Iron Sky guys, and that's community filmmaking as well. And that shows you what... when you get together with a bunch of people who all have a common interest and you raise money via the public, bypassing basically Speak Studios, what can be achieved. And their interview is fantastic. We're saving them till last because they are kind of our highlight of the entire thing, and it's actually fairly long. Shane, what do you think of the robots?
I thought it was awesome. interesting. There was a moment where, in that particular interview that you were doing, one of the little robots came a few millimeters away from knocking over the camera stand. I was actually trying to watch it.
That was a little black one, wasn't it?
Black ones, like even if they were controlled by a guy, that guy knows exactly how those robots should react, because all they ever did was get in the freaking way. That's all they've ever done.
It's like a little shoebox with wheels on it.
Exactly. And I would have been completely okay with you kicking it out of the way, because I believe that's how they should be treated. Yeah.
The other thing we didn't get a chance to have a look at, because they never had it going, I think it was later in the day they were planning it, or possibly the Sunday, which was that LAN party that was being set up. At the back of the hall, there was a huge screen and all these computers set up across tables, and all the chairs were still on the table.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering when that was actually going to kick off, but I was really curious.
Maybe it wasn't on the Saturday. Maybe that was just like,
maybe it was a Sunday thing.
Just have a bit of a play, or maybe people that just wanted to set up on Saturday.
Possibly. Yeah. I was wondering what was going on with that. But I tell you what was really popular was the gaming tables. Now, I'm not even sure what company was involved in having them. I'm sure it was a gaming store somewhere. Couldn't see any of the signage. But they had Dungeons & Dragons and Magic set up across tables. And they were packed.
Yeah.
It wasn't like there was any kind of there wasn't any type of spare space at all. These guys were packed, and they had full fledged boards and miniatures and the whole bit going. And the tables for the Magic were teaching people how to play Magic. I didn't realize, because I was a huge Magic player when it first came out, and I've got hundreds of Magic cards. But I'm surprised that it's still that popular. I thought it had actually waned off by now.
No, man, it's still there and it's still going strong. I used to work at a game store, as most people will know, and we sold cards almost every couple of days.
I cracked my Magic cards out at some point and actually go back to playing Magic. I love Magic. Magic was a lot of fun. I actually was tempted at one point to sit down and get crack them. Say, teach me how to play Magic. You're dead.
Never would have stopped there. He would have picked.
He would have then said, "You're a hustler, man." Pulled out his good deck and then trashed me.
Yeah, exactly. And I just didn't have time for that.
It would have been fun to have that on video, though.
Oh yes.
Come on. All right. Now another fan. We've always got to have our fans out there. I spotted this girl early in the day, and unfortunately, I will say that I am slightly disappointed by this video, because even though she was really nice and it was a good little interview, Shane didn't pull the camera out for a wide shot, because what we really wanted to do was see this costume, because this girl was dressed as Emma Frost, and she'd made her own costume, and it was quite nice, because we all know that Emma Frost wears fairly revealing costume. But yeah, unfortunately, we don't get the full revealing costume, but she was very sweet anyway. This is so we finally tracked her down, and we talked to her. So here's Emma Frost.
Hey, I've just discovered Emma Frost here at Supernova. How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you?
I'm good. This is a sensational costume. How long did it take you to put it together?
About a week.
About a week.
Yeah.
Is it comfortable? You cold? You look cold.
I've got about 1,000 layers on my legs, so.
Oh, well, that keeps you a little bit warmer then.
And this is hot.
So you've come to Supernova. Is this your first one?
It is.
Yeah,
it
fantastic. Is. What is it you came here looking for in particular?
Lots of nerdy fun.
Yeah, well, that's kind of why we're here. Have you gone and actually seen any of the celebrities or anything?
I just saw Charisma in there.
Oh, I love Charisma. I love Charisma.
Buffy, I love her.
I love her. I just want to be in her presence. All right, so in the real world, when you're not here, what do you do?
I am a graphic design student up in Newcastle.
Oh, fantastic. So you've traveled a little bit to get down here. Are you here for boat days?
Pardon?
You here for boat days? Or just?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, well, thank you very much for your time.
No worries.
All right, enjoy Supernova.
You too.
So she was very sweet. She was very sweet, and she was very easy on the eye. But, you know, we won't go that far. But she was. Look, I'm going to go on record here and say that if these girls, if you remember that one girl that was dressed, and we got a photo of her with the bust, the babe with the bust, Lillian lost the babe with the bust. These girls are going to dress like this. They're expecting to be looked at as well. All right. Yep. I mean, that's the thing. These costumes are very revealing, and they're going in costume. This is the whole idea. And she had the body for it, so what can I tell you? All right, so that was the last of our fans. As I say, we've got one more that we'll put up onto YouTube when we actually put these up in their entirety, and we'll put these up unabridged. A lot of these are abridged for time. The Spider-Man, Iron Man one is another minute on top of that, and so forth. So we'll put these up unabridged on YouTube over the next couple of days. So by the time you listen to this audio, for the audio listeners, they'll be up. For the video watchers who are watching now, you've already seen them, but they're not going to be online. And they'll be much higher quality because we shot them in widescreen and they're much higher quality than you're seeing on this video. All right. What we're going to finish with here, and we'll come back afterwards just to say goodbye, but what we're going to finish with here is the Iron Sky guys. Now, we kind of explain in the video what it's all about, but for those who don't know, Iron Sky is an independent science fiction satire comedy that is being made. It's a European production. And we found this teaser trailer online. It was just kind of came out of nowhere. And we just blew our minds. We just thought, we want to see this. And I actually put on the post, I wrote, anybody who knows anything about this, please get in touch with us. And lo and behold, they did. Okay, and they wrote to us and we got into the thing and we said, we're going to get you on the show and everything, but time differences are hard. And then we found out they're going to be at Supernova. And we thought, well, if they're going to be there, we're going to meet them face-to-face. And face-to-face we did. Mm. And here is our little interview, our mini interview. Unfortunately, it's in the booth, and we couldn't get them away from the booth because they had a lot of selling to do because they're still trying to sell this production. But as you'll see in this interview, you know, they're talking about where they're going to be shooting, and we'll probably have a lot more to do with these guys. So here is the interview as it went down at Supernova.
A little bit of backstory. A few weeks ago, we actually put up a trailer on our website for a film coming up called Iron Sky. And I basically said, if anybody out there knew anything about this production, get in touch with us. And then, lo and behold, I get an email from the producers of Iron Sky. So we're here at Supernova, and they are too. And so we are very, very pleased to meet you both. Can you introduce yourselves?
Hello, my name is Timo Vuorensola. I'm the director of Iron Sky.
Fantastic. And I am Janos Honkonen. I'm the publicist and making of guy. So if you've seen some of our videos online, at least this year it's been mine.
Fantastic. So how long have you guys actually been developing this project?
Quite some time. I think we originally got the idea in when we were still working on our previous film, Star Wreck. We were sitting in a sauna and having a chat about the next film. And it was in 2005. And from there, it took us, I don't know, 5 years to get to where we are right now. And it's a couple of more years. It's going to be out in next year, so there's one more year to go.
As a geek myself, I can't wait. The trailer just blew me away completely. And I just went, oh my God, I got to see this right now. Now, according to your site, it's actually a comedy. Is that right?
Yeah, it's actually a comedy, but definitely not your typical sort of Austin Powers in space comedy. Yeah,
but like the Austin Powers.
Yeah, good. My idea is that it's kind of a very, very, very dark comedy where you are, you know, watching, laughing, but you're thinking, I shouldn't be laughing at this in a way. So I think the basic setting of Nazis on the Moon is such hilarious itself. We don't have to underline the comedy. We don't have to have those flipping around in, you know, banana leaves and that sort of stuff. We can actually trust on the real comedy. So it's closer to, let's say, Dr. Strangelove or something like that.
Yes.
And many people are kind of worried, like, oh no, it's a comedy. We wanted some kind of a, you know, nice what if scenario that's taken seriously. And you know, even if it's a comedy, you know, it can be kind of serious. And let's say, for example, Doctor Strangelove. That is not a silly movie. That's a funny movie. But it's a, like Timo said, you really don't know if you should be laughing at it. And this is sort of what we are aiming at. Like, you know, comedy can be smart. It doesn't have to be silly.
Deep satire is what you're going for.
That is a very good job.
Yeah, fantastic.
I just wanted to give you guys a quick shout out. The work that you guys did on the costumes is incredible. It's the whole visual style of the trailer is really amazing. We were really, really surprised. Did you have anything to say about it?
Yeah. It's actually, we have a very good costume designer who's actually New Zealand, who worked a long time in Australia. Then he moved to Germany. Then he moved to Finland. Just accidentally. We were just looking for him, but we didn't know that he exists. It's called Jake Collier. He's the best.
Yeah. And he's been working. I don't know if you in Australia know Farscape. Yes. He's been working on that and Xena and so on. So he's a really good, you know, on this kind of stuff. And he was really enthusiastic. Like, you know, he's a military history buff. Like, sci-fi and Nazis in space, you know. I think I like this.
As soon as the trailer comes up and says, let's kick some Nazi ass, I just went, all right, I'm in. I'm in. And the swastika-shaped moon base, I think, is just quality. So you're hoping for a next year release?
Yeah, it's
good. And principal photography begins when?
It will begin in 15th of October, around there. It will still... nailing down the exact date, and it will take first in Frankfurt, then we come over to Brisbane and shoot in the Brisbane from over, you know, November to around December, and 2011 later it's going to be out.
What's interesting is that there's actually another film that was just shot in Melbourne, actually, at the end of last year, which is also another Nazi film, science fiction based. I think it's called The 25th Reich, and it's an Australian film, but it's not about Nazis on the moon, let me tell you. But it is, it's about, I think it's like Nazis in the future or something like that. I don't know what it is entirely, but we were trying to get interviews with them, but they were being very snobby about it. But yeah, they shot there as well. So I think Australia is becoming the home of space Nazis.
Brilliant, and I herefore welcome it. You guys, when you're shooting up there, we were talking before, there's a possibility that we may be able to come up and see you guys on set.
Most definitely.
Yeah, that is a very exciting possibility for us, and we will definitely be taking it up.
When we're there, just organize a date, and you can come over.
Wonderful. Awesome.
When it's not quite so noisy and we have a little bit more time, we'll get you in on Skype and we'll have a good deep talk on the show itself, okay? Because this is all kind of chaotic, obviously.
Okay, and there's something for you, viewers, of course, because everybody can take part in making Iron Sky. Because one thing that we are really big on is audience collaboration. Like our previous project, Star Wreck, it was made by geeks, you know, made by volunteers, made by, you know, we are geeks, of course, ourselves, and, you know. Then we started to realize, okay, the net is full of, and the fandom is full of people who are aching to take part in projects like this. They want to help. They have terrific ideas. So we basically whipped up a net platform called Wrecker Movie, where, you know, filmmakers can connect to their communities, to their fans, and ask for their help. And people can give their ideas in there. So come to our site, ironsky.net, and go to wreckermovie.com and check out. You can actually help in there.
Fantastic. Everybody go do that. Help, put any help you can in. It would just be... we need to see more productions like this.
Damn right.
It also helps break the studio hold on all this sort of stuff. So so we might get a little bit better genre filmmaking, quite frankly.
We'll probably put a bit up of that on the site so that people can kind of follow up on where to go and what
absolutely
to do with that. Yeah.
Thank you very much, guys.
And we will indeed put a lot of that stuff up on the site. We've been a little bit remiss getting stuff up on the site because for those who have been following my personal life, you'll know...
We've had a lot of stuff to deal with.
We had Supernova, and my wife has just had surgery. So there's a lot to deal with. And
Dave's been helping me set up my website.
And I've been helping you set up your own podcast as well and your own site. So this week, everything gets back on track. So we will get the photo gallery up from Supernova. We will get their information up. We've got all their paperwork, and we're going to get all that up. Raggy, make me one and I'll use it. Raggy in the chat room says that we need a Geek Actually mic flag. Yeah, we do.
The mic was kind of a last minute thing we actually managed to get hold of.
We actually have to give a shout out to that, by the way, because he insisted. The mic actually belongs to the Little Geek. It's the mic that he uses for his voiceovers for his movies. And at the last minute, he loaned us his mic, which he bought with his own money and was very precious about. And he said, you're going to give me a credit for that. And I said, yeah, we're going to give you a credit. So here it is. Mic supplied by NLM Productions. So
awesome.
There you go. All right. So there you go, Nicholas. There's your plug. All right. So we're going to get all of that information up online about Iron Sky. That was, for us, really the big moment for us. And yes, in November, we will go up to Brisbane with our cameras and mics. By then, we'll have our own, or we might borrow NLM Productions again. We'll see how we go.
I already have one, so we'll be fine.
Well, there you go. And we will go up there, and we will get on-set footage as they're shooting Iron Sky here. So we're very excited by everything to do with Iron Sky. It is a project that I can really get behind. I just look at that and I just go, oh my God, that just appeals to the geek inside me. So yes, and Jay Raggy, my wife is doing perfectly. She had a day procedure. She had her gallbladder removed and she's doing very well. She just walked up and got hot chips. So yeah, she's doing fine now. All right, so nobody panic. It was pretty standard procedure. All right. Okay. Now I'd say, let's just round this off and basically say that I had an absolutely terrific time at Supernova.
Oh, for sure.
It is actually the first time I've been to. It's not my first convention, but it was my first Supernova. I had a blast. It was just, I mean, it's exhausting, of course, but it was just so much fun. How did you guys like it?
Oh, dude, I this isn't my first year. This is third Supernova I think I've been to. Twice working, I guess, if you count this. It wasn't really work this time, but look, I've seen both sides of Supernova now, and it's really great to see and sort of connect with those people a bit more when you're all kind of walking around and you don't have the cameras out. It's very, very hard to realize that all the people surrounded by you are just as nerdy and just as interesting. And a lot of them will be very normal, even with the costumes on. So my shout out to everyone that goes there is just walk around, talk to people, be friendly.
And look,
these guys are really nice.
And don't get frustrated. There are a lot of people and there's long lines. Just be patient and you'll have fun. Shane?
Yeah, this was actually my first Supernova. I really enjoyed it a lot. I got to know the camera.
Shane
acted as our impromptu cameraman for the day. So. Yeah.
Besides that, you do get the odd crazy person, like the one that I walked past with Dave and they pointed out Star Trek.
That was the strangest little moment.
There are some very odd people. Expect that. That's one thing people should know. At Supernova, you will meet some very weird cats as well.
Yes.
There's some very normal people and some very
That's right. We talk about the fact that there are normal people who are dressing in costume and doing geeky things. But they're not all comic book guy, but let's not forget that there are comic book guys there as well, all right? The good thing about it, though, is that there was never once any feeling of hostility there. There was never once any feeling of people getting aggro with it. Everybody was really well-behaved. It was, for that many people, everybody was very well-behaved. So I have to say, I will be back next year. Now, that brings us to an idea. Now, this is an idea that kind of floated through my head while we were at Supernova. And we're going to set up a special fund. Don't just put it through to the donations line if you think this is great and you want to immediately help. It's not set up yet, so it's just an idea, but we will be mentioning this over the next few months. We're thinking about getting a booth at next year's Supernova in conjunction with DLC Live. And we're going to broadcast our shows from Supernova. And we're going to bring in people just off the crowds and so forth, onto mics and so forth. It's going to be a very expensive exercise, and we will be looking at hopefully getting people to help donate through to getting us to do this booth and everything at Supernova. So it should be a lot of fun, and of course we'll also be looking for volunteers to help work at the booth and so forth, because while we're on mics, we're not going to be able to do stuff on the booth. Lots and lots of things. Okay, so this is just an idea at this point that we hope will become a plan, which we hope will become a reality. Just to let you know that this kind of went through my head, I thought, why couldn't we have one of those booths, set up the mixing board and the whole bit, and basically we could do a longer Geek Actually show, we could do the Geek Actually after show, we could do the DLC show, we could do all these shows all right there. And I'm also going to see if I can, over the next year, we're going to talk to some of the various wireless companies and see if they will sponsor us with Wi-Fi to actually do it live, which would be even better.
That would be awesome.
We're not going to be paying for that sort of bandwidth, but if they want to donate it, we might be able to even pull it together. So in the coming months, we'll actually put the information on the site. Once it's all set up, we will set up a special Supernova fund. And if people want to contribute time or money to getting Geek Actually to Supernova next year and DLC to Supernova last year, we're going to time travel too while we're at it, apparently, for next year, we'll see how we go. And if we raise enough money, we might even do different Supernovas. So we'll see how we go. Let's start with one to start with, though. What do you think? All right. So I think we're going to leave it there. We've kind of recapped everything. We'll get everything up on geekactually.com by the next couple of days to make sure. What? we'll get that. Sorry, the chat room is just going strange. We will get all the stuff onto geekactually.com. We'll get Iron Sky stuff. In the meantime, go see the Iron Sky website, ironsky.net, and follow the various links and look at their publicity photos and stuff. Their costume designing is excellent. Their stills are fantastic. Definitely go have a look at everything they have to offer. We'll also put up the information, the contact information for things like the R2-D2 Builders Club and so forth that we have. We collected a lot of cards and stuff while we were there, and we'll put all this together. But I think we're going to get out of here today. Yep. I think it's been a long day, and I think we'll get out of here. And so we'll be looking for all that sort of stuff. And
throw my phone on the ground.
Sorry?
I'll throw my phone on the ground.
And guys, thank you very much for joining us. How can we find out more about you guys?
Well, there's always the website, rawdlc.com. Feel free to come over there. We also have a live show as well, Dave was talking about before. We've just kicked off our first episode. Apart from that, you can always find me on Facebook as well at facebook.com/geekjosh.
Fantastic. And Shane?
Find me on Facebook with my full name, Shane Robert Gregory, and also write for DLC.com.
And also, don't be shy, you also moderate the chat room on Raw DLC as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, so moderate the chat room. Yeah.
That's right. So if you ever go into the live show
soon
of Raw DLC...
Soon to be our full-on blown techie as well.
Oh!
Shane is stepping up in the world.
Oh, stepping up on the game, okay. All right, so if you need to send any sort of feedback to Geek Actually, the podcast, the after show, anything, you send it to feedback@geekactually.com or you can send us a voicemail at 02-8011-3167. That's a Sydney number. We want to hear your voices, guys. We want to hear your input. Call up, record something. Remember, though, if you do feel that you aren't getting the sound quality that you want on Skype, you can always just email us an MP3 as well. Try and keep it down to about a minute long. You can also follow me on Twitter, David McVeigh, twitter.com, of course. You can follow me at David McVeigh. And I think that's it. I think we're out.
Yep.
I think that's all there is.
We're done.
We're done.
Bye, guys.
See you, guys.